The last time we were together, as you can clearly remember, we looked at the church,
the bride
of Christ coming down out of heaven, the New Jerusalem, and we saw that the pictures here were of the church and of its glory, right up into Revelation chapter 22, up really to verse 26. But I'm going to go back a little bit into this and just some of the pictures that we see here. We're going to maybe go from 22:1, so start there. There were all kinds of imagery that we saw there, but 22:1, it says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb."
Here?
Yes.
Were you going to tape?
I am. Okay. Thanks. "And of the Lamb. In the middle of his street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They'll need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Amen. So this section, this description is again, remember we talked about the city, we talked about the imagery of it. Now John is looking at these things in a vision and he's being told what things would be like, but there's representative situations in the book of Revelation we've already seen. We know that when we see this pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, when you look through the Bible, you'll find that Jesus promising in John chapter 7, verse 37, "Whoever believes in me, out of his inmost being will flow rivers of living water." And what does it say, describe that as? Does anybody know? What were the rivers of living water? The Spirit? Yes. Don't have to hesitate when you answer. He said, "This he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified." So the rivers of living water was the Spirit of the living God. And really, I believe that this is symbolic or speaking here of the river of the Spirit coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's from the Father and the Son, and really the picture of the Holy Spirit being the active person of the Godhead, even in heaven itself, as he pours out life into the people of God. So I am not going to be apologetic for looking at this in terms of imagery rather than literally. I mean, you can look at it literally if you so choose, that there's a spring coming there of nice pure water. But also, even when it speaks in the middle of its street on either side was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Do you remember the tree of life was in the garden? And then as soon as they fell in sin, what happened? What happened with this tree of life? Huh? In the garden. What was that? They were forbidden. The way was barred to the tree of life. It was lest man should eat of this and live forever. And what was the reasoning for that was, if they partake of this in their sinful state, they will stay sinful forever. So they were barred from the tree of life. But we know that in the New Testament, what is the real tree of life?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ himself. He is the source of life. Yeah. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And so access to the tree of life was restored when people became Christians. When they came into faith in Jesus Christ, they receive access to the tree of life, which is Jesus Christ. And not only do they receive access to the tree of life, but access to the person of the Holy Spirit, as we said. So the river of water and the tree of life, all these are representative in one sense of God's fullness being poured out on us, but not just things God giving to us, but God himself being given to us. God himself being poured out to us. God himself being our provision. And we see his provision here in the picture of water. We see the provision in the picture of fruit or food here, as it speaks about this tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. What's interesting is it says on either side of the river was the tree of life. But then it speaks almost of plurality here, of fullness, so that on the river is flowing and the tree of life is yielding all of this fruit, and each tree yielding its fruit every month, so that there was constant provision. And it would also seem to see that because there were 12 fruits, there is varied provision, right? So it wasn't all the same thing. Oh man, I got to eat bananas this week. I got to eat bananas next week. I got to eat bananas the next. No, varied provision. It says 12 fruits, right? Which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. So we see full provision. We see varied provision. And then on top of that, it says even the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, there's not going to be Canada and the good old USA, as they were chanting last night, if you watched the speech on the TV there, the State of the Union address, as America blew its horn very loudly. There's not going to be nations in that respect. What did I say that nations actually meant?
Tribes?
People groups. It means people groups, yeah. All the different people groups of the world. Right. The trees are for the healing of all the people groups that are in heaven. There's fullness, there's full provision, there's nothing lacking in any way.
What is the significance of the 12 then? Is that the 12 tribes of
Israel? Yeah. We would look at 12 as a complete number from the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, the 12, even in here it speaks about the 12 foundations, the stones, which are like the 12 apostles, the 12 gates to the city, just the absolute full provision in every way. Yeah.
The healing of the nations, it almost sounds like continual healing, like it's not like a one-time we're healed, we're complete, we're content.
I don't know. It could be one time, it could be an ongoing thing, but it speaks that there's not, I mean, we already know there's not going to be any pain, nor sorrow, nor suffering, nor any crying, none of those things anymore. But that is wrapped up with the new city, with God being our healer, with God being our provider, our protector, so that whether there's a necessity of ongoing healing, then that will be there. Or if you're looking at it from the position of it being a literal tree, then you go and you get the leaves off the tree if you need healing. But if you're looking at it as being Christ himself, being my healing, my life, my provision, my protection, then he is constantly that. He is constantly all my healing. He's all my life. He's all my provision. Yeah. He's everything in every way. There's a tree in Africa. What's the name of it? Do you remember?
Keen tree.
Whatever the name of it is. It was one of the young fellows we were talking to there, and he said, I don't take malaria pills, I don't take any of that. He said, I get the leaves from the
this, neem.
Huh?
Neem. N-E-E-M.
I get the leaves from the neem tree,
yeah,
and I boil them in water, and he said, that takes care of the malaria for me. And actually, they were at a spa down on the coast, and they used the oil from the neem tree?
The leaves
from the neem tree as part of the skin treatment or something like that. So it's supposed to be a tree that has a lot of healing properties. But this tree has a lot better healing properties than the neem tree. Right? And there will be no more curse. Now we get what we were saying earlier here. First, there's no curse. It's over with. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. If there was nothing else, if that's all there was, if that's the only promise you had in the entire book of Revelation, that promise would be enough. Because first, there's no more curse. Remember when the curse started? When did it start?
Adam and Eve.
In the garden. It started in the garden.
Yep.
Now, the lifting of that curse comes with Jesus Christ, the salvation that we receive. But there's still a curse on this earth. This earth still has the curse on it.
Yeah.
Spiritually, that curse is lifted from your hearts when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's still a curse. I can go up to my property in Southwest Margaria, and if you want to find thorns, I can show you a lot of thorns, right?
Yeah.
Tons of them. There's an incredible amount of thorns there. But there's no more curse there, because the throne of God and of the Lamb is in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. That is a significant statement of complete ownership. Now I belong to Jesus. The old hymn, have you ever heard it? Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. It is an amazing thing right now, here at this date in 2019, which it is 19, right? That I can say, now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. This is a stamp of ownership. And there's no question here. That doesn't mean, I really don't think that in heaven we're all going to be walking around with Jesus stamped on our forehead, right? But I do believe it's the significance of this is the certain ownership of God upon us. We belong to Jesus. The rejoicing really starts now, because we are the church of God now. This was the church, remember? This was a vision of the church. But we ought to be thinking about the truth that right now the river of life is flowing. Isn't that what it said in John 37? Whoever believes on me shall have a river of living water flowing out of them. Rivers of living water. Right now there's a river flowing. Right now there's a tree of life. Right now there is healing. Right now there is provision. Right now there is more than just provision, there is variation. God gives us so much. Right now, there's the healing from the leaves in it. Right now, the curse has been lifted. Right now, the Lord God is here. Right now, we have access into the throne room of God, don't we?
Yeah.
Right now, we have the Lamb of God for us. Right now, we are his servants that are serving him. Right now, we see his face by faith. And right now, we have the stamp of ownership upon us. Yes?
The woman at the well,
mm-hmm.
he told her,
whoever believes in me shall have a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So I just don't want you to think it's all futuristic, but understand that in one sense, heaven has come to earth.
Right.
If you remember, I think it's a chorus by Graham Kendricks. Oh, heaven is in my heart. Oh, heaven is in my heart. Can't remember the rest of it, but heaven is in my heart. In one respect, heaven is Jesus. Take Jesus out of heaven and there's no heaven. Heaven is not so much the place, it's the person. But the person of heaven has come to live in you. So heaven is in your heart. I am not taking away from the future picture here. I am just saying that we have been given more than a taste of the future right now. Right now, if you're a Christian, all of these things are yours to a measure already. The fullness of all of that, being unhindered from a sinful nature, which some of you still have, being unhindered from all of that in heaven with all of its fullness and glory is something to be looking forward to indeed. But do not miss the reality of the very presence of God now with you, in you, and for you. Or you'll miss that. Because remember, the church is the bride. And remember, as it describes this whole structure and everything to do with it, it's the church of God. There's a bride coming down out of heaven prepared for her husband. That's us. We're the church. So God has given us so much already in Christ that we can so richly enjoy. So to a measure, all of these truths are true in your life as a Christian right now. Believe that, rest in that, rejoice in that, and that will give you agreement, a greater anticipation where we will actually literally see him face to face. And all of these things will be enjoyed. There'll be no night there. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall what?
Not see darkness.
What's that?
Not see darkness.
Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So there is a sense that even now we are not of the night. Isn't that what Paul writes? And he says, we are not of the night, but of the day. And Jesus being that very light of the world, is he only light of the world, you know, certain times of the day? Or is he not light of the world always, at all times? We are not required to walk in the darkness. So even though that's to come, there is a sense, a spiritual sense, where we have that blessing even now. They shall need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, it just describes the fullness of the glory of Almighty God will be upon us. And we will reign. We will rule with God. Reign means that all things have been conquered. It means there is nothing that is not under our feet and under the feet of Almighty God. But when we looked at the passage in the book of Revelation from the amillennial position, we found that we are already reigning with Christ, that we are already in that position, because we are no longer, what does it say in Romans chapter 6? Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 1? That we have been raised together and seated together in the heavenlies in Christ already. That's what it says, isn't it? We're already raised up. We're already seated together in the heavenlies in Christ. And so there's this sense of that, as I said, we can look at it from the position that we are already receiving the blessings of these things, but also can see the fullness of that. The fullness, as Paul could write in 1 Corinthians 13, now we see through a glass darkly, then we shall see face to face. That takes us to Revelation 22:5. I'm not going to get through the rest of this. The rest of it is almost like the closing part of it. But I just want to leave that with you tonight. It's not a long study. But I want to leave with you tonight the glory of God in the church. The glory of God in the church now. And because of that, to be looking for the glory of God now. To be drinking from the fountain, the water of life. To be believing, because as I continue to believe, the tense in John chapter 7 is, he who, whoever believes in me, let him come to me and drink. And the idea there is let him continually come and drink, because there's the water of life is here with the Spirit of God. To encourage you now to know the experience of God, the fullness of the provision of Jesus Christ for us, to know that the curse has been lifted, to know that we belong to the Lord, to know that we're in the presence of Almighty God, to know that there's healing for our hearts and our souls, there's healing for the people groups of the world, to know that we are in the very presence of God, we see him by faith, and that we have the stamp of ownership on us from him, and that we are his servants serving him now. To know that we are not walking in darkness now because we have the light of the world, mm-hmm. and that we are ruling and reigning with Christ now. We are not subject to the devil. We are not under his authority. We are not under the authority of sin. We are not under the authority of the world system. We have been delivered by Jesus Christ, and we need to believe that by faith and walk in the glory of it right now. And that will only increase our anticipation for the time to come, when we will see it in even greater fullness at the end of the age.